What's up, guys? Today we have Miss.
Miss Elke.
I spelled it wrong. I know.
Hi, we are the ASM Behind the Scenes podcast. My name is Jin Yao.
I'm Jimena.
And I'm Sergio. We're three seniors at ASM.
In this podcast, we will explore the lives of upper school staff members and alumni with the hopes of bringing you fun stories about high school, college, and life in general.
We'll be releasing an episode every week on Fridays.
If you have any cool ideas for future episodes, feel free to email s23142@asmadrid.es. But before further ado, let's get into it.
What's up, guys? Today we have Miss Elke, who is a science teacher here at ASM. Thank you so much for coming today. First of all, could you explain a little what you do and what classes you teach?
So I'm teaching IB, SL, and HL for the juniors, and I also teach grade 10 integrated science.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Nice. So our first question for you is kind of what is your best high school or college memory?
You know, in high school, my cross country ski team won the state championship.
Oh, wow.
And I was co-captain.
Oh, wow.
And so that was a big thrill.
That's really fun.
Because I really like snow and I love my team. So that was fun.
Yeah. Where'd you live? Where did that happen?
Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of cross-country.
Cross-country ski King. World.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's so funny that you have cross-country skiing in, like,
as a
in
sport?
High school. Yeah, like as a school.
It's like a
sport in high school.
Yep. In fact, Stillwater High School, that's where I went, is where Jesse Diggins, who is the first woman to get an Olympic medal in two Olympics now.
Wow.
She actually is.
School?
Yep. And she's, I don't know her personally, but she actually runs by my brother's house when she's training because she's from Afton, Minnesota, which is where I'm from.
But did she get the Olympic medal in cross country skiing?
Yes.
Oh. Wow.
Two of them in the last Olympics and one in the Olympics before.
So you could have potentially been an Olympic cross country
skier. No, I can't ski as fast as she can. I just had fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to ski as fast as I could, but I could not ski as fast as Jesse Diggins.
Mm-hmm. So when you won the championship, was it like a national championship?
No,
regional?
It was a state.
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 Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. So that's always a big deal. Stillwater was like they cared the most about American football. So because football is a spectator sport and it's so American. Mm-hmm. So when the football team would even get close to going to state, everybody would go berserk. And when the cross country skiers won, they'd be like, and we'd be like, you have no idea how it is to stay outside in this cold and snow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Cheering on your team.
And what was the experience like to be like co-captain? Like, did you feel like
super,
it made it better?
Super nice. My co-captain, so we're two of us, she and I got on really well, the team got on really well, so those were like training, we'd run all over, we'd ski all over, it was like a great, like family almost,
nice.
Although it was a family that filled two school buses, there were a lot of us skiing, it's a huge ski program.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And did you keep doing that in college? Or
you know, I wanted to race in college, and I went to UMD because I thought there was a team, and they canceled it right before I got there. So I just had fun.
Yeah,
I skied. In Norway, I skied. My husband and I skied a couple of long races.
That's so fun.
I was just happy to survive.
Was it different in Norway than in Minnesota?
Well, they're way better skiers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that being said, we have our representative who ranks with the Norwegians. But we skied the Swedish Vasaloppet.
Oh.
You know, it's 90 kilometers from one town to the next. And then we skied the Norwegian Birkebeiner, which is pretty fun because you ski over a mountain, 50 kilometers, with the mass of a baby on your back. Because it's in commemoration of someone skiing the baby king to safety over the mountains.
Uh-huh.
That's the legend, right? So...
Yeah.
Anyway, it was really great just to be able to keep up with the Norwegians, and I felt proud just to be like, oh, I can ski like a Norwegian.
Yeah.
I must be all right.
Yeah. So, did you have any other activities that you did or in high school, or was that
choir,
like your own?
Yeah. We won a huge competition in choir, too.
Oh, wow.
And I was in drama.
Juicy.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, she did the musical.
Oh, yeah, I was in the
drama.
Musical. I remember.
Yeah. How did it feel to kind of like rekindle that like love for music and drama after?
That was kind of, it was really fun. Thank you for letting us participate.
Yeah, it was really nice to have that like mix of teachers and students. It kind of brought everyone together.
Yeah. I felt like when we first stepped in, we only knew four different parts, you know, or five parts, and it was really hard for us to know where the heck we were supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I remember once in a while somebody be like, don't move that box yet. And I'd be like, okay. And then I'm like waiting, when am I going to move the box, or when am I going to step out, or and then going, okay, now it took me a couple of days to go. That's when I do it.
Yeah. Did it give you any like flashbacks to when you did it in high school?
In high school, we never did musicals. We always did plays. Mm-hmm. And I only got a bit part. In one play, I said, "Merciful heavens." There you go.
That's it.
But in college, I did one musical. Uh-huh. And I was in the chorus. Yeah.
And what was your major in
chemistry.
Chemistry.
Chemistry with math and bio minors. Wow. Right?
And why?
Well, because science is so cool, and I thought that I would save the world somehow with science. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think a lot of scientists think that. That's right? A lot of their like kind of initiative for going into science, and a lot of times it.
And do you think you're saving the world in some way?
A little ways, because my students go on to save the world. Mm-hmm. I think so. I think if you educate people, you change the world in a good way.
Yes.
Yeah. You certainly help their lives. So
that's something really beautiful. I like that. Yeah. The fact that like teaching can hold so much power that it can, like, you might not directly be changing the world, but by you like indirectly talking to other students, then it's you're changing the world. And I fully believe in that, because I think that like teachers are like your main kind of like
mentors,
inspiration for like classes that you like. And I think that if you have a good teacher for a certain class, you're going to like that class. Mm-hmm. I think that that's because like, for example, me in sixth grade, we had Mr. Peterson in science. And he like, thanks to him, I think that's why I like science so much. And now I'm going to go study science. So I think that it's really important to have like a good, solid teacher that can inspire you. Mm-hmm. And like literally it's crazy how one teacher can literally impact the trajectory of your entire life and make you choose your decisions.
And so how did you become a teacher?
So I was studying science, and one of the professors needed a teaching assistant, and I was an undergrad and invited me and a friend to do it. So we were teaching the lab. You know, the students were older than we were.
Oh.
And it seemed, because it was a night class. Mm-hmm. So I think they were more non-traditional students, and they were really scared. And the course was hard. I was like, I can't believe you have to do all that in one semester.
Yeah.
Because it was a whole mishmash. But I figured out I just loved it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, dear. Because I really wanted, I thought, I had other ideas of what I was going to do with a science degree. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, I resisted it. I finished my degree, and then I went to Germany to try to be a chemist there in Philips University. And then did some research, and then, like, more and more figured out I didn't want to be in the lab. Mm-hmm. I like reading about famous things that people discover, but I don't think I have the tenacity to
discover them yourself.
Yes. Because I'd lay awake all night trying to think, how can I get that thing to work? And everything fails, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't have the Thomas Edison optimism where I can fail and fail and fail and fail and then feel like, oh, yeah, that's great. I know not how not to do it now, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'd rather read about what other people have discovered than discover it. Yeah. And I like the people part.
Yeah. Right? You can help other people discover things, like
yes,
you said.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And right after college, what was the first job you did? It was in Germany, or?
I was canoeing. I worked for an organization called Wilderness Inquiry, because I love to be outside.
Oh,
I grew up with a school program where I learned to winter camp and canoe. And then I worked for Wilderness Inquiry, and that was life-changing, because the people on the trips were super diverse, and they had, sometimes they had disabilities. And I learned so much from working with people in the wilderness. It's a big equalizer. Mm-hmm. You go and you're canoeing and you're traveling and you're carrying your own tent and your own food. And then you have people who maybe don't see or someone who can't hear. or someone who can't walk. And then when you encounter obstacles, you have to figure out, okay, so how do we all work together to get here, you know? And can somebody lead somebody else? And can somebody else carry somebody? Mm-hmm. And if the person who carries, what's their role?
Yeah.
Can they cook?
Yeah.
And trying to integrate all that was fantastic. Yeah. So that's what I did.
Nice.
So I think it's time to move for the surprise question. So the question is, what would you do if I suddenly turned into a magpie, a bird?
Wow, I'd probably open the window and let you out.
Why?
Why?
Well, because I don't think most birds don't like to be in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
And I would want to get you out of the room so that you didn't hit your head on the window. Because birds inside...
I appreciate that.
They panic. And then I'd try to get you out of the room.
What if I started talking to you?
Then I'd think you were somebody's pet. And then I'd want to find your owner.
Do magpies talk?
They do.
They do?
Sometimes.
Well, like... talking like a human, if I
yeah
oh say
yeah,
really
yeah, yeah if I started talking like theoretically, if I started talking to you and having a conversation, what would you ask me?
Oh, so do you want to go home? Where is your home? What can I do to help you?
Mm-hmm.
Don't bite me.
I migrated from Germany, actually.
Okay. And you speak to me in German.
Yeah, I would speak to you in German. But, yeah, so this is... We kind of like to ask teachers these questions to get kind of a sense to see how teachers would answer them, because this is typical Oxford interview questions. So people in Oxford get asked this question a lot, so they kind of just want to see your thinking, reasoning, and your reasoning behind...
I'll probably be really confused and weirded out and just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I actually had an Oxford tutor who helped me, like, with interviews, and he asked me this question.
Just out of
you. Yeah. And I think I said that I would ask him stuff about the bird, like, how does he work, or how does life look like as a bird, and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. How high can you fly?
How high can you fly? What does it feel like to be a bird?
Yeah, how does it feel?
What are you doing here? Like, why are you talking to me? Like, how can you talk to me? But yeah, I think I gave a good answer, I remember, but I don't remember exactly what it was. It was 2 years ago. But but yeah.
And going back to the interview, how did you end up in Spain? Because you went from the U.S. to Germany, right? And then Spain?
Nope, back to the U.S. to get another degree. So that I could have a degree in teaching. And then I taught in Minnesota for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at the University of Minnesota, I went to the career and counseling room. Mm-hmm. And I saw this thing that said, hey, if you want to teach overseas, come to this meeting. And I was like, say. And then I went to the meeting and they said, teach for a couple of years in your own state.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn how to teach and then go overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, got it. I'm going to teach and I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So then I married Mr. Vizzoli and we went to Rio. Yeah.
Wow.
Rio, Switzerland, Rio. Norway,
yeah. Wow.
Kazakhstan,
yeah, wow.
Chile, back to Brazil, and here.
Mm-hmm.
And we came here mostly. My daughter was a freshman,
mm-hmm,
and she had 3 years left, and she wanted to move before her IB. She started her IB.
Mm-hmm.
And we always teased her because she grew up in Spain. She grew up in Chile and Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
We always teased her that she would spend her high school years in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So then ASM was like the perfect choice.
Yeah. Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely
so that's
and
came.
This might be a hard question, but out of all those places, which one did you like most, or which one would you like stay more time in?
Yeah, every place you go, there's a different reason to like different parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm not going to answer your question.
I
can never choose.
Okay,
yeah.
So all of them. That's yeah.
Right,
you my
all
question.
Of them at the
yeah
same time.
Yeah.
Right. Which one did you see was more culturally? Because I love like learning about other cultures. Which one would you say is like the most, like, culturally different or more culture shock in a sense?
Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Because
yeah
I lived in Almaty, and that's where Asia meets Europe.
Oh, that's interesting.
And just
like in Turkey, kind of, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, right. it's just a different, it's more into Asia, right? Mm-hmm. In Turkey, you're just across the border, but yeah. Depends upon where in Turkey you are, right?
Yeah.
So then I feel like the people had different mindsets. And the other thing is the Soviet Union had just, okay, it seems like ancient history to you guys, but the country was only 11 years old.
Oh. Mm.
So yeah. You just felt like a lot of people were like, which way is up, you yeah. know? And you could have really interesting conversations about what was better, Soviet Union or now, or yeah. and you get different answers depending upon what you did. And the other thing is, they were kind usually intrigued by foreigners. Mm. So if you just walked down a local street, they kind of wanted to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you could find people like a guy herding sheep would just stop and talk to you while you're camping. And you're like, okay, tell me about your life. And you'd get a whole earful.
Yeah, that's the most interesting.
In my terrible Russian. But it was fantastic. Yeah,
was it hard to adapt going to all those places?
Every place you go is great, and every place you go is hard. The hard part is leaving.
Mm-hmm.
The cool part is arriving.
Yeah. So how many languages do you know?
I've studied like 5 of them, but I speak them all poorly. It's terrible for the amount of time I've spent studying languages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep switching too much. Yeah.
Would you, this is kind of connecting back to like school and stuff, would you say that there's like a big difference between high school students now and high school students when you were in high school?
2 words. Cell phones. Is that 2 words or one? That's
the biggest one. It could be two.
Is it 1 word or 2?
I think it's one.
Yeah, I think
cell phones.
One.
2 words. One word.
One word. So
that's the biggest difference.
Yeah. How would you say that? Like,
well, because it affects your access to knowledge, which then changes everything, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the possibility of, like, the technology, how fast you can put stuff together.
Yeah. Kind of, like, the fact that, like, I feel like teaching before was more about, like you need to teach it, but now, like, whatever you're teaching is, like, it's available online, so I think that the role of teachers now is to teach you how to use that information that you find online.
Exactly.
Your advantage, like, through critical thinking and things like that.
And how to know when it's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's the role of teachers now, and that's really interesting how it's like changed just by 2 words or one.
One.
Right.
And what are your some future plans?
I'm moving to California.
Oh wow.
Oh, when?
In August.
Are you excited?
Where in California?
Mixed. Marin County, north of San Francisco.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So it's the north of California.
Yeah.
To teach as well?
I hope so.
Do you have family there, or is it?
No, my husband got a job at a school that he loves.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like a debate which state we'd go to. Mm-hmm. I got a job in a different state, and I love that one. And
which
he
one?
Got a job, Idaho, and in the mountains.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Gasp! And he found a job where he loved it, and then we had to make a decision that was the best for our family.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the best decision.
Yeah,
okay.
It's more opportunity for me than for him in a tiny town.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I think we're going to move on to the last question, which is what advice would you give future students? Or not future students, current students.
So the same thing I always say is to try to worry less about grades and more about learning.
Mm-hmm. And about saving the world.
And about saving the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which part? Which aspect of saving? Because there are a lot to save, right?
Well, first of all, if you're interested in other people, you are more interesting. Mm. Exhibit A.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you help other people, you'll never be depressed.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
You know?
Yeah.
When you look out for, if the first thing you should do whenever you feel bad is to do something nice for somebody else.
Yeah.
Your heart, your soul is part of being human, is that connection and that thing that you feel when you do something for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow.
So, but yeah.
Yeah,
and I think it's hard because like college admissions is like so crazy competitive, and people feel like the one place they land is going to change their life forever, which is true because you'll meet new friends that you would have never met and all kinds of things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll be fine wherever you go. You'll be excellent wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
As long as you learn
Yes. Right?
Yeah, that was so nice.
That's
thank
good
you.
Advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you.